some updates. Who's up?
I'm up first.
All right, go right ahead. Thank you.
I'm here today to talk to you about a Garrett County transportation grant. Now, let me start by saying we've all discussed community revitalization. I know it's one of your overarching goals. And I think we can all agree that in order to revitalize a municipality or a rural village, we need to think holistically in order to accomplish that. So that means it's not just economic incentives to encourage businesses in your downtowns, but it's also looking at housing options, a strong educational system, parks and recreational opportunities, and transportation options. Now, when I started thinking about transportation options, the first thing that occurred to me is we do not have a comprehensive Garrett County transportation plan. We have a chapter in our comprehensive plan on transportation, but I would submit that what we need is a clear vision of what we want for mobility for both our people and for goods throughout our county, not just locally, but also regionally. So what I'm submitting is that a Garrett County transportation plan would inventory our existing conditions, what we have in place. We'll also conduct a needs assessment. And that's not just a roads network, that's also looking at what we need for bike and pedestrian paths, bus service, rail transport, and air travel options. And it would explore bigger concepts like an inland port, rural transit-oriented development, and passenger rail service to the region. So in short, it will answer the questions, where are we, where are we lacking, where would we like to be, and how will we get there? I've discussed this with Infrastructure and Facilities Work Group of the Garrett County Development Corp. That includes esteemed people like Jay Moyer and Dave Moe in the back there. Steve Green, Mike Dreisbach, Sean Bender, John Sanders, you know, people who know infrastructure in our county. They're all very supportive. I've discussed it with the State Highway Administration, and they're not only supportive, but they stand ready to assist by donating staff time and expertise to serve on a committee should we be successful in launching an effort like this. Our initial cost estimates that we looked into are pricing this at between $85,000 and $100,000. Our plan is that we would go for the Maryland Heritage Area Association money in the amount of $50,000. That would application will be due next month. That requires matching funds. So the other part of that, we're thinking about asking ARC for the $50,000 in matching funds. In order to submit to the MHAA for funds, we'll need a support letter from the commissioners. And basically what it says is that we support this project and that we're willing to commit the $50,000 funds, but of course that's who we're going to ask ARC for those funds. The beauty of this concept is that if MHA we'll get the response for them before we submit to ARC. So if the funds don't come through, then we can regroup at that time and figure out how to do this. Here's a copy of proposed letter. That's what it would look like should you decide to support and send this with MHAA. As I said, Dave Moe's here in the background, and Cindy Sharon's been doing a lot of legwork on possibilities of grants. So if you have any questions for any of us,
will $50,000 from ARC come through the Consolidated Technical Assistance? Is that what you're thinking?
We are originally proposing to do that. They usually cap those requests at about $30,000, and we wanted to request more money than that. So this would be proposed in a preliminary project description that is due on April 10th for competitive consideration to be locally ranked by the commissioners and then also ranked by the Tri-County Council.
So you wouldn't get that money for this time next year, though?
The money, it would begin...
it's in one October budget, but you won't get it. Traditionally, you don't get it.
Yeah, we could potentially get it by January of next year. January.
Any thoughts on the idea of having a transportation plan?
I don't know where I read it, but you wrote something about your rural transportation-oriented
development
or something.
Yeah, it's my
and
project.
I thought it was kind of... When I first read the title, I said, oh, yeah, it's a bunch of BS.
I do that sometimes, yeah.
As I read it, it really made a lot of sense. It's a good concept. So I think this is, I personally think it's a good idea. I wouldn't, I don't know about the timing. I don't know when the Heritage money would be available versus when the ARC money would be available.
The Heritage money would be available July 10th of this year, and you can have up to a 2-year timetable to expend the funding. And the earliest we would get, if awarded funding by ARC, of course, the earliest we would see that money is January of 2016. So that would be proposed as a commencement date with the ending date of June of 2017.
And if we do this and something happens, you don't get the area development money, you'd still have an opportunity to go back and get $30,000 of the CTA money, and it would only cost us $20,000 now, right?
We're actually proposing to apply for $50,000 in funds from ARC. But yes, there's currently CTA money available.
I'm just saying, if you don't get the $50,000 in area development for some reason, you can still go back and get $30,000 from CTA, and it would only cost us $20,000.
Yes. The goal is to pay for the this project with half of the money coming from the state Maryland Heritage Area Authority, and then half of the money coming from the Appalachian Regional Commission.
Right. And this is something you'll compete. You'll go out and advertise and compete?
Yes. Yes, we'd have to hire a transportation engineer.
Larry, question?
What would be your starting date on this? What's your time frame here?
We would need a letter of support from the Board of Commissioners this month to make application to the Maryland Heritage next month, and then the project would commence with bidding in January of 2016, thank you.
2016. So what's our obligation soon? I mean, do we have any obligation financially this year at all?
No. What we're asking you to do is, we'll send the letter, and what it says in there is we commit to $50,000. But if we don't get the $50,000 from MHAA,
we don't have to pursue
it. You don't have to pursue it.
Worst case, it would cost us $50,000 in next year's budget.
That's what I'm getting.
If we have to do that, we just fire one of them and save the $50,000.
We put $50,000 extra in our budget, yes, just in case. I'm okay with that.
I'd say we're probably long overdue. Transportation obviously is a key here. A lot of things that we want to do. I think it's a great idea. Appreciate the work on it. So do we want to make a motion to support this?
I'll make a motion to support it.
All right. We got a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion. Second question. Motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
I was just joking.
I'm going to talk about the web maps. So initially we had said that it was at gis.garrettcounty.org. We've been working with the IT department, going back and forth with some ideas to make the web maps part of the existing county website. So someone suggested that we change it to maps.garrettcounty.org. So if you just go to maps.garrettcounty.org, the other stuff in this URL will pop in there automatically, so you don't have to worry about that. But I think we're going to go with maps.garrettcounty.org from here on out. So if you're sending a link to anybody, get on that instead. I can update the article on the website so that it reflects that. But we're going to have it also fail over, so if anybody does go to gis.garrettcounty.org, it'll go to maps.garrettcounty.org. That's all in the upcoming future. So what you get when you go there is the planning and zoning map by default, and that's probably one of the more informational maps. By the way, I wanted to start out by saying that I hope that you'll see from this presentation that the maps are a good service to the community, that they can be useful within the different departments of the county government, and that we're also hoping that we might minimize some of the software that we purchase, because a lot of what we do with some of the GIS software could be done with a GIS map instead. So just think about about that while I'm going through the presentation and see if you can see if you're buying what I'm selling here. So you just click through this to get started with the map, and the map loads with the street center lines and a base map. It's just a streets base map to start out. And when you zoom in, you start to see more of the features, like these critical areas. You've got police stations and utilities. And as you get closer, you start to see some of the address points and some of the parcels. And all these are clickable, so if I click on an address point, it gives me the address that I click and some other information about that address. And also the parcel that's underneath of it. And you also have a link to the assessment website, so you can see the assessment record for that property. And if you want to, you can, when you're in this map, you can turn on some additional layers if you want information about zip codes or election district or zoning for the area. Those layers will turn on. And when you click an address point that has some of that overlying it, they all have zip codes and election districts, obviously, if you're in Garrett County. But they might not all have zoning. So if you click on a point that's in the zoning, you can get information about all these other layers, as well as the address point and the parcel. Maps were built to navigate in such a way you can navigate through this control here to the different maps, but this will take you back out to the full extent of the county. So this navigation control was built in to allow you to, if you wanted to visit one of the other maps, like the measurement map or the sensitive areas map that I've built, you can do that and keep this same extent. It'll just pass the information along to the next map. By default, you're given the same map that you're currently at. And the reason I did that, it may seem strange at first, the reason is that when you launch the same map, if I launch this same map, it adds all this information in the address bar here about the center of the map and the zoom level. And that can be used if you want to highlight this here. You can copy and paste this information into an email. So if you wanted to share this with somebody, you could do that. They would see exactly where you were looking. Or the public could send me information and say, Mr. Churchill, this address information is completely incorrect. You need to fix this. Which would be a benefit to me. So that's one way that you can use that navigation control, and it also will go forward to another map, like the measurement map. If I wanted to measure a parcel in this area, I could launch the measurement map. Parcels back here, I can click on the area measurement, and if I use the control key, I get this little green plus sign if I'm right near one of the parcels that allows me to snap to a different parcel. Click once, click again, and double click, and it gives me the acreage there. If I wanted to see that in square feet, I can change. It does distance measurements if I want to measure a distance. Or if I just want to know the latitude and longitude, it'll give me that as I pan around the map, and then the green marker will register and hold one of those lat-long coordinates. Some of the other maps include the sensitive areas map, where I can click to get information about also information on the map about the source water protection areas and our growth areas, our priority funding areas. This is built off of our comprehensive plan maps that go into like long range planning for the county. So here's like some of the priority funding areas. You can get information about those or these here. This is one of the source water protection areas. Information about that. So moving along, another map here, we have the covered, there's also flood hazard. If you're interested in a property and you wanted to know whether or not you're gonna have to purchase flood insurance, you can do that here. So some of these properties down here. Click on this parcel, it looks like it may have some flood hazard areas. And they're long linear features, so they take a little while to load there. But it says it's in flood zone A, so you have to look at the legend. And it just says that A indicates a 100-year flood hazard area. So it's potentially this property would need flood insurance. So the last map that I have is a printable map, and that would be if you were interested in making a map graphic to share with somebody or to print out for yourself if you had some information. It has all our layers in here, so probably go through and turn the ones off that you're not interested in. Or that aren't relevant. So you can do different things. You can draw with graphics on the map. So like say that this were a buildable lot, you could draw a rectangle representing the house location. Text labels with or without coordinates, depending on whether you check this box here. So you might say, where the electric box is. Turn off the coordinates and just say, this is the. Yes.
Do you have municipal water and sewer availability with those? If you want to look at a lot, for example, need to know that it has water and sewer?
No, we don't have those layers. I don't think that the GIS layers we have are complete. We have from what I understand from public utilities, we have some of it in GIS, but not all of it. So it might be a little misleading if we had some areas and not others, but if we had a complete GIS layer, we could do that. I know of some areas where we just don't have the GIS data. I've talked to Pat Hudnall about that.
All right, thank you. Is there any questions?
Did you develop this to meet a known need or to request of somebody or just on your own, or how did you, what was
the genesis? A little of both. I think Debbie's been thinking about this, and she's wanted to do this kind of thing, and it definitely takes time to develop it. It's been a lot of what I do when I'm not doing my other everyday duties, and it's been a great learning experience. I've always been into black box, you know, you use a, an application programming interface, you know, like a development environment. So a lot of like the printing and all that stuff is just built into the software. You just, you know, put it on the web server and it makes it all happen.
It looks like something Paul would know better than me. It looks like something would be pretty helpful to realtors.
I was just going to say, what this site does, it helps a realtor, instead of going to three or four different sites and going through five or six steps to get the information, it combines it all in one interface, and it works on a little Android.
Yeah, realtors, attorneys, builders.
Builders.
It'd be a great economic development tool, but I think today's point, it would be more valuable if it had, if you could determine if there were public water and sewer available with that associated parcel. I mean, that would be a, I maybe that's too hard to do, but I'm just saying that would be a big plus, I think.
I don't think it's hard to do. It's just a matter of getting the source data and making sure it's accurate before we put it out there. Something we can certainly look into. You know, this is something that we've been, you know, I've wanted to do for many, many years. It just so happens that JB has the program experience to make it happen.
That's great. So my only concern would be, you're pretty good at going through there and clicking and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just go along with that, are there any user instructions? Or
yeah, I've built this whole help documentation here, and I'm actually working on like a video. That's about 10 minutes long.
Like a YouTube trying video.
Trying to trim it down a little bit. It's about 10 minutes long now, the way I've done it. And I also want to redo it with some of the new user interface stuff that IT is working on.
JB, will that go down to the municipalities as well? Get the same information on lots in municipality?
Yeah. There's the planning and zoning map has the town boundaries layer as one of the additional layers.
Debbie, is this something, or JB, either one? I mean, I think Jim brought up a good point. Is this something that we can email out to the town clerks and the board of realtors and let them know this tool's here?
Yeah. So what's one of the reasons for this launch in this forum, so that we could do a public release, so we can get more users on it. Certainly, from our perspective, it's a living document, it's a living website, and there's going to be things that people are going to suggest, and that's why
that brings me
getting it out there.
Another question is there a way, JB, that if we set up a time and inform these groups that would have a vested interest in this, that it's there, maybe do, you know, an hour professional development or something here that you could walk those people through?
Sure. I'd love to do that.
I mean, I can see town clerks, something that would be a benefit to them, certainly the realtors, builders, all that stuff, even other people within the county government that can utilize this. But maybe set up two or three different times, invite people in if they want to come in for a half hour, hour, let them ask questions, walk them through it. You've done a great job. Let's get it out there and utilize the tool.
I'm not sure directly how to do that with the web map.
If you know where it is, you can always
zoom
to it.
If any,
click
any,
on.
There is a control. I didn't go over it. That you can use to find property by map and parcels. You know the map and parcel, you can search by road here, and that'll bring up the roads that exist in our roads layer. And then there's also this control here for parcels. It's a little clunky. That's probably why this is one that you would have to have that kind of training that you were talking about, Paul. You would want to, because the way the control works, it is a little bit of a black box, like I mentioned. So, you know, I can't make it do everything I want to do. It only does what it does. If I have multiple controls, like one for map and one for parcel, and I type numbers in each, you would expect that it would find this map and this parcel, but what it does instead is find that number in either field, which is totally confusing. It doesn't work at all the way I would like. So what I can do is search by parcel, and then when that runs, I can sort by map. So if I know that it's in map 5, parcel 25, then I can click this swatch. And that should take me to the correct map and parcel. Find something that way. And that would, you know, if you
make it user friendly so people can navigate through the thing. But that's great.
Yeah, that's excellent work.
Did you go to Sutton?
Yeah, but did you go to Northern?
You had to go there, didn't you? I went to Northern, not touching.
Anybody got any other question or comments for JB on this web map? And one of you guys have a road name?
That is JB as well, he's already up there and ready to go.
Next on the agenda, I have a road name resolution. This is just for 911 safety purposes, similar to the last road name resolution I brought up. This one is for Quarry Road. It was brought to our attention that the quarry has a gate at the north end, and that it's unclear when approaching the quarry from the northern entrance if that gate is locked. It would not be possible to get back there. When I researched this and I talked to the people at the quarry, they pointed out that the emergency folks do a lot of their training there. But still, for safety purposes and just for clarity in case anybody did try to go there, we thought it would be safer to have everything on one side of the gate be a different road name than the north side. So the north side of the road will remain Quarry Road, as we have it proposed here. And then the south end will be Quarry Road South. And talked to the folks at the quarry, and they've given me written consent to go ahead and make that change. And they plan on updating the road sign with Quarry Road South once all this goes through, providing your signatures on that.
Is there any questions on that? Do we have a motion to approve the resolution of the road name change?
Make the motion.
Motion, I have a second.
Second.
Motion, a second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Gentlemen, before we move on from my department, there's one thing I wanted to mention. Kathy Shanks for the Department of Natural Resources would like to come here and do a little presentation for you in the next month. DNR does stream monitoring, and they would like to continue to do so. They have plans to do some stream monitoring this spring. And she would like to do a presentation for you about how the county can help out just with notification to landowners and access to properties and that sort of thing. So, with your permission, I'd like to work with Bonnie and get a day together that they can, she can come up and present to you.
Anybody have a problem with that? Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for all your work, guys. All right, now come to the point in the meeting for constituent input and public commentary. Does anybody have anything? Okay. Huh? Yeah. Mr. Mark.
Hey, one thing you ought to, I didn't want to interrupt that guy, but some of the towns have sewer and water GIS maps, and whether or not they could, you know, get these in the county system.
Did you hear that, Debbie?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
I think long term it could save us a ton of money because it's expensive.
Yeah. Some of the towns do have the water and sewer map through GIS.
Good.
So that might be something they can just tap into, save some time and money.
Yeah, that'd be excellent.
Well, I'm
sure most of the infrastructure is town. All right. Meeting schedule, Carol?
Yes, just a few items this week. Jim, I have a good one to make it Wednesday. I called today, make sure you're ready.
Air conditioning.
Yeah. And then Wednesday's your meet and confer down at the chamber. It's out and you'll be back. So I'm
Garrett County Mayor's Association.
Where all the towns will be there instead of one each.
When is it?
Wednesday the 4th at 7.
Once a year,
but I have some thoughts on this.
It also
still serves and has served in the past as the meet and confer. Some towns instead of this, some towns where she comments it. We said a lot of
before at 7 at the chamber.
And you're using first on the agenda. Is it about 45 minutes or so?
That's your county municipalities. Before we would go to each of the towns and you would talk tax differential and all that. This way you kind of combined it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to check.
Yeah.
Seven. There's no dinner either, Larry, so you don't get to eat.
And then Thursday, Larry, I have you at Social Services at 1. And that was really it this week.
I'm going to try to go to the Greater Cumberland Committee meeting on Thursday, 11:30. I just went too late to RSVP.
We can ride down together if you want, Wednesday night.
Oh, okay.
You can just let me know what time you want to leave. I can meet you here or something.
It's at the Cumberland Country Club. I don't think you keep track of that.
I used to RSVP for Jim, so I'll gladly do that.
Can you do that for me,
mm-hmm.
please? I think today's the last day to RSVP.
Okay. I'll do that. Monty, did you ask them about the STEM festival?
I have it here. Go ahead.
I don't know how you would say his last name.
It doesn't matter. It's an invitation to the Maryland STEM Festival.
They want someone from Garrett County, someone from the staff, to join them planning the event for the STEM.
It came to the commissioners, that's what I didn't understand.
I don't know. And it's November the 6th through the 15th. And they didn't know if you wanted to send someone.
Where is it?
Baltimore.
Is it for college kids or high school kids?
I think it's another good coordinator. They
all
there?
I don't see where he. It doesn't show who all he sent that to.
Yeah, I don't think we need to send
anybody there. That's probably going to be 5 or 6 meetings. Someone's going to have to drive all the way to Baltimore. Well, I'd say. I don't think we'll get anybody beating the door down and sign up and do it.
Larry and I aren't STEM guys.
You're not STEM guys.
Yeah, that's the first thing I'm going to say.
Here's another business before hours. It's not till March, so I didn't know if you wanted me to ask this early or not.
This is 4 hours. Transformational happenings.
Yeah.
And it was prompted.
Council list.
Here's another.
The RLF, Leanne was calling the 4 people just to make sure that they would like to serve again, but she was pretty sure they were yes. Jonathan Kessler would still like to serve, but we need someone to fill in for Nancy Jo Frotz. If you would have anybody.
Who's on there now?
Leanne's calling these 4, just to verify. She's pretty sure they all 4 would still like to be.
And we need one more, is that what you're saying?
Yes, her. This one.
Okay.
Nancy.
We need a motion to adjourn a public session and move into executive session for personnel and finance.
So
we have a second?
Second.
Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. We're now in executive session.